The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magnet Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. It is a pleasure to be with you again this week. So much going on my personal calendar. It's great to take an hour, put the phones away, put the computer away, and dial in on not only what I see now, but some trends that are unfolding and some really nice things taking place over here with Magnet, with T3 Live, where I'm their market strategist. Tonight I'll be on Larry Kudlow's show on CNBC. I was over there yesterday, actually, on a great conversation, all kinds of, you know, fabulous stuff, I think, happening, all because, basically, I am willing to take an approach two different directions. I have to remember that some people like to trade the market, like to trade the market hard, and they're in and they're out, and they're buying and they're selling, and they're going off moving averages and volume and trading the news. And over here at T3 Live, one of the most amazing things I shared with you is that you can actually see what I buy, when I buy it, when I sell something short, when I cover a trade in either direction. That's just so much fun for me because I get to do these morning videos, the afternoon close, and really then take some thoughtful time to do 15, 20-minute videos on, I think, what makes somebody a better investor rather than a trader. And this afternoon, actually, we're going to have on S&P's chief market strategist, a great, great knowledge of history, Stan Sovol, is going to be joining us. And we're going to talk about a couple important trends that are coming up for the overall market. And while we can never guarantee what's going to happen next, what we do know is that April has turned out to be a pretty good month on average in the market. And more importantly, we're entering a cycle in the presidential cycle that is traditionally very, very healthy for the market. And why is this important? Simply because I think that what you have taking place is an unloved bull market, a market that's continuing to shake off news, to go higher over time, to actually baffle every bear out there who continues to talk about bad news and debts and sovereign debt from the government. And who knows what the heck is on people's mind, but what they're forgetting is the market looks forward, the market looks ahead, and the market likes what it's seeing. And we never know what the future really lies. All we could really say with certainty is what is happening or what just did happen. And using the Magnet stock selection process, I'm simply asking, as you know by now, a very repetitive question, which is simply, which companies out there have the fastest growing revenue? Which companies out there have the most margin increase? Which companies out there are showing cash flow to their shareholders, and which companies have momentum? And when you, there's obviously many more factors involved. When you have all of those factors involved and you get institutions buying, what's the outcome? The outcome usually is some good results with your portfolio. So all I can say here right now is that we're doing two things. One, I'm calling for the active investor, or maybe even the active trader over here at T3 Live. And what you should do is the letter T, the number 3, live.com. Call up and get a trial subscription and just see if you like the action. It's not only me, by the way, of course. There's 8 or 9 other very experienced traders with their own reputations that show what they're buying and selling, and you get a chance to chat during the day, ask why, and so on. So that's T3Live.com. The other thing I share with you, to me, that's just as important is the fact that the most trustworthy companies, the thing over at Fax and the thing at TrustAcrossAmerica.com, those portfolios are not for the active trader. That's for people who actually want to do what they do professionally, leave the investments to professionals. It is a screen portfolio looking for the most trusted companies in America using a combination of financials, meaning Magnet's tools, Louis Navalier's growth screens, and combining that with non-financials, meaning how transparent are the earnings, how clear is the presentation of the accounting, how sustainable is the business measured by employee benefits and turnover and engagement and all kinds of neat things where you understand for a company to be truly sustainable, it's got to engage their employees, engage their community. It's got to have a reputation of doing business the right way through their suppliers, all the way through their employers, all the way through the end product. Those companies, by the way, by taking extra expenses maybe along the way, think of a double hull ship where you say, well, I could build an oil transport with only one hull. Why should I bother using two hulls? Well, the answer is you're going to spill less. You're going to get there more often without a spill. And while it might cost you more money in the short run, when you're thinking truly long-term, double hull just makes sense to everybody. That's the analogy for the difference between a company trying to make their quarterly numbers by the best they possibly can, to squeeze every little penny out for the quarter. That's obviously not that long-term of thinking. So there's two different things I'm doing. What I've mentioned, and I always have some fun with this when I do it, people are always talking about the decline, not only of America, the world's in bad shape. I mean, you've heard it all. You've heard all the problems. What I like to share on the flip side, it's all the progress that's actually going on. The front page is full of bad news. All you have to do is turn to page 2 on the Investors Daily where they show you trends and innovations. Let me just read a couple of them because it's kind of amazing. And what we're talking about here is a low-cost device that spots cancer and HIV cells. This thing is the size of a dime and can be transported into areas where they just don't have great health care, where they're not finding diseases fast enough. Here's another item they're talking about coming out of Florida Atlantic University researchers. There's a new coating. It's called Flash. It's hundreds of times more durable than existing coatings, can save billions in repairs over time with bridges, roadways, and other structures. There's one more in here. I thought it was just fantastic. It talked about, again, 10 times the difference in the speed of the Internet. The Internet actually, here it is, Google rolls out broadband, projected to increase the Internet speed by 100 times. Kansas City will be the first city this is rolled out on. Folks, if you don't feel all the incredible advances made by technology, biotechnology. What I'll be sharing, by the way, later today on the Kudlow Show is my clear understanding that right now, today, working in America, about 30% of all individuals are working in industries. Think about this, in industries that did not exist 30 years ago. So when people talk about the problems of unemployment, the problems of jobs, folks, there's going to be a clean tech revolution that will blow your mind. It's going to be whether, I'm not sure what it's going to be. No one's smart enough to know the future. It might be clean coal into natural gas. It might be solar. We just don't know. What we do know is that companies will emerge. Maybe they sell artificial skin, artificial eyes. This is what I've talked about several times. There's always a new industry showing up. If you look at the earnings in the S&P 500, and they talk about $100 worth of earnings for the year, whatever we're talking about, look where they're coming from. They're coming from $12 of earnings from Google, from Amazon, from companies that simply you never heard of years ago because they didn't exist. And this is what will happen in the future. The S&P and the Dow, the Russell, all the indexes are great at looking at what's going on today and saying we're going to add this company into our index and we're going to remove this company out of our index. Folks, if they didn't do that, the Dow would look like 18 stocks. They would all be railroads, and the index on the Dow would be nowhere near where it is. This has got to be true of your own portfolio. If you're buying and holding forever, if your belief is that you just need to hold forever, you're going to make a mistake. What you need to do instead is be a little diagnostic. Look what's actually going up the most in terms of revenues, margins, cash flow, et cetera. That's what Magnet is all about, and that's what we're trying to do here at T3 Live, where I bring you what I'm buying and when I'm buying. Later on in the show, folks, we're going to bring on the chairman of the board, one of the smartest guys in New York City. We're going to bring on Bob Spira from Chapman Spira. In the meantime, next segment, I want to go over some more things I'm seeing in the paper that I think you need to tune in on. It's Jordan Kimmel here on Magnet Investing. We'll be right back following this quick break.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magnet Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And let's talk now about how to handle a trade, how to actually buy a stock, how to actually sell a stock. And this is the key for people who are actually looking to trade in individual companies as opposed to sitting back and buying a fund, widely diversified, and letting somebody else handle those kind of hot in the seat discussions. And so let me share, there's all kinds of ways to think about it. One thing I want to share here, and this is what we do a pretty good job here at T3 Live at doing, is reminding people there is no all or none decision that needs to be made. Think in terms of having $10,000 to invest in a stock. It's the same if you have $100,000. It's the same if you have $1 million. It's the same if you have any multiples of money. The thing is, think in terms of three tiers. Think in terms of when you get your idea, when you've done your homework, nobody knows the future, and this is probably the most important part to remember. Simply, nobody knows. And so where you go from there is if you go into Tier 1 and you buy some stock in Tier 1, you're committing about a third of your money into the stock. At that stage, don't average down if the idea went against you. Again, so you say, well, I've done my homework. I bought the stock at 20. It's now at 18. I'll buy some more. Bad idea. The stock is actually going against you, and averaging down into a bad idea is like being in a hole. And when they say, if you're in a hole, stop digging. Okay. Now, interestingly, a stock then comes back and then comes to 20 and a half, and now it's beyond and ahead of the stock you paid for it. Well, you say, well, I could have bought more at 18, but you were actually not really convinced the trend at that moment was clearly going against you. Now the stock is a little higher. You go in, you buy your Tier 2. You do the same thing with Tier 3, and again, I use trading envelopes. I use all kinds of technical analysis that I show you right here at T3. You can come right onto my screen. You can see exactly what I'm buying, exactly at the levels, and that's probably the biggest advantage of what I'm doing at T3. You see it live. You don't see exactly the number of shares, by the way. You don't see when I'm tearing in and tearing out, but you can come on the mic and ask me, you know, where you are. The whole idea here, unfortunately, people make so many mistakes by thinking about something, by watching and waiting and watching and waiting, and they see a stock go up, 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 up. It keeps going up, and then finally, after 7 or 8 consecutive days higher, they can't stand it anymore, and they jump in, only to see it turn around and go negative. Had they been in Tier 1, had they been in Tier 2, they'd be making money the whole time. Now, I want to go back to a prior guest. Aaron Brown was a guest a couple of different times. He's actually one of America's top risk specialists that there is. He was the head of risk for all of Citigroup. He was the head of risk at Goldman Sachs. He's now the head of risk at one of the largest hedge funds in the world. And what he talked about in the poker face of Wall Street, that it's okay to compare poker to the stock market, not in terms of flipping cards for the high card and the low card. That's pure gambling. Red and green, pure gambling. But if you're actually in a poker game where odds change, you could actually work with odds and actually improve your odds over time. What Aaron talked about is the individual who, say, gets a hunch, hears about something called the internet, if you will, steps forward and says, this is going to be transforming. I'm going to buy some internet companies, and they start to fly. He's already in them. Now, if they go down, people talk about stop losses and how to handle trades that go against you. That, I think, maybe is a subject for a whole nother concept. The idea what I'm trying to bring out is that if you go into Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3 approach, frankly, the same thing for selling. You get up to a stock price, you feel like that's as high as it's going to go. Maybe you just want to take some profits. You say, well, I'll sell the whole thing, and it just keeps going higher. The reality is it makes more sense to sell a third, lock in some of your gains, hold some of that stock. Now the stock goes higher yet. You could sell another third of the stock. If you do it a certain way, you do the math, I do it, you could actually pull all your initial investment out of the stock and still hold a substantial amount of stock as it goes forward. You don't know if it's going higher or lower. I've said one of the most empowering moments in my investment career was when I found out that you don't know what's going to happen. And nobody, frankly, knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows the future. That's actually empowering rather than frustrating. That means you're always working in a little bit of gray, a little bit of dark. Nothing is certain. The only thing, frankly, is certain carries no return to it. You can make zero money on a absolute. The only investment, in fact, that you could use those words guarantee is when you're talking about a treasury which has a very low return. And yes, in fact, I am willing to talk very clearly that risk and reward are intertwined. And there's no question at all that you need to take some risk to make some money. But when you talk about what actually is risk, I address this in my book, The Magnet Method of Investing. Risk is not actually how much a security or how much a account goes up or down in a given day. That's volatility. And volatility and risk are completely different. I've talked about the unfortunate examples of sometimes you'll see an older person shopping. They buy three or four or five things. They literally cannot believe the price at the cash register. They think there must have been a mistake. They begin to talk about how much this used to cost and how much that used to cost and how they can't afford to live anymore. A lot of those folks actually sat in a money market, sat in a passport savings account, and they can say very clearly, hey, they have never lost a nickel. They've never lost a nickel in the market, but unfortunately, they lost money to inflation. And over, I will remind you that you need to read a couple of books. The Battle for Investment Survival being one of the best books ever written. And what the theory, the whole discussion was, the goal of investing, the whole point of investing is to not make a ton of money necessarily only, but it's to preserve your purchasing power after inflation, after taxes, and after fees. That's really the golden touch. If you could do that, I remember, and again, I pushed past 50 a couple years ago. I remember going to Madison Square Garden to watch Pistol Pete Maravich play as a rookie. I was buying my own tickets. I was working. I paid $4.25 to go see those games. Right now, the cheapest Knick tickets, I'm not sure what they cost. The game might not even be as good as it used to be, but we're talking about factors of 10 and 20 times that amount. If I sat in a passbook savings account, you could never afford what's going to happen in the future. And back in the days of my first days on Wall Street, in 1986, when I was selling municipal bonds to very conservative clients, I talked about the day will come, your kids will say, I'm going to a movie, can I get $20? Can I get $100? I'm taking my girlfriend to the movie. Well, you know what? That day actually came already. And people can't believe it. Movies, instead of $2, $3, $4, I don't even remember what a movie cost, $11, $12 a movie. Okay, these days have come already. When we hear about zero inflation, when we hear of a 1% inflation rate, What's also in my book, Magnet Method of Investing, are some charts by the shadow statistic, a guy named Williams. A fantastic website where you can go in, and he shows you the way they changed the CPI since it was first developed in 1971 to track inflation. The government has been forced to change what is actually in the index. Therefore, what they're basically doing is saying whatever goes down the most, we're going to increase the weighting. And I'm not a conspiracist theory. I don't want to talk about conspiracist theory. All I can say to you is if you believe inflation is running at 1%, then you're not eating, you're not drinking, you're not filling up a gas tank, you're not heating your house, you're not going to movies, you're not paying for college, you're basically buying semiconductor chips, which are going down in price continuously. People can't eat semiconductor chips, we know that. The fact of the matter is inflation is rampant, inflation will always be rampant, and I personally believe inflation will only accelerate. It's only my opinion. I do not know the future, I do not know what's going to happen, but my investments are predicated on the fact that stocks will move up and down, that you have to know what you're doing to be in business. And the fact is that you have to actually outpace inflation if you want to maintain your standard of living in the future. It's really that simple. Is investing easy? Of course it's not. And if it was easy, I remind people, there wouldn't be anything like a Honda. There wouldn't be Hyundais. Everyone would have a high-level European sports car or sedan, whatever they like to drive. Nobody would be looking at economy cars. Nobody would be looking for sales and deals and what have you. You get the message. Investing is hard. Investing is difficult. But investing, if you can master investing, can actually not only preserve your purchasing power, but put you in a position to donate hospital wings, to do the right thing by your community and the right thing by the rest of the world. That's really what it's all about, folks. Coming up here, we're going to get it. Maybe, I'm not sure yet. We'll see what's on Bob Spira's mind. We might get the darker view of international politics, about problems and so on. I like to look at all angles. We'll be back with Bob Spira, chairman of the board, right after this quick break.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
The format at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
Welcome back to Magden Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel, and probably my favorite guest, one of the most knowledgeable investors, investment bankers alive and in the street, is Bob Spira. He's the chairman of Chapman Spira. He's affectionately known around New York City as the chairman. Bob, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, and it's a lot of fun. Wakes me up in the morning.
All right. Well, good. I hope you've been up already because we're rolling here. And, Bob, you know, let me just share, during the break, we were thinking about where we're going to go here. And there was some really, really big news, I think, that kind of shocked the foundation. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway kind of getting a significant black eye. And maybe what to do is, I know you actually sat on arbitration panels. You're very, very plugged into security rules and laws. Let's talk about what actually happened, what the impact of it is, and maybe the fact that you can't throw rocks when you live in glass houses. I'm not sure what the message is, but tell me what you think the story is.
Well, I don't know what the story is. I've read about it. Seriously, the fellow resigned, so obviously someone up there thinks it's pretty serious. Buffett says it didn't mean much because they hadn't decided or even looked at the company when he brought it to them. But he could have easily sold his stock just so that it would have looked better, and he didn't do it. Now, when you have a court involved in something, the judge will recuse himself, Supreme Court people leave a money manager dealing for them. This guy didn't do any of those things. He brought it to Buffett saying this is a good deal. And he also knew his position, which, according to the articles in the Wall Street Journal today, seemed to indicate that he was the heir apparent to the Buffett family. Mm-hmm. And I think that Buffett has created a myth, basically, because he's been such a successful investor and has got such good PR on not screwing around. But I don't think that's the fact, and I don't think really rich people get that way by not screwing around. I think they do screw around. And if we want to talk about it further, there are some items that, of course, he would rather people don't talk about.
And right. Well, let me mention one thing, Bob, that always amused me. And, you know, he is great. You said the publicity machine. And, again, nobody wants to get on the wrong side of Warren Buffett. No one really wants to take him to task. One of the things that always amused me is when he would say, hey, I'm a country bumpkin. I don't even have computers in my office. But I would look through, and I'm one of the guys who gets the annual report of Berkshire Hathaway every year and reads his letter and kind of also reads through the rest of the presentation. The amount of options and derivatives that they're trading over there couldn't trade without computers, couldn't trade like a country bumpkin who buys and holds and has this concept of, hey, I'm just looking for good companies to hold forever. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that his choices in buying companies have been pretty good because the results have been pretty good. And I don't think that you can work in these days without a computer because you can't get all the facts. And you can't set up these tables that you really have to when you're analyzing a company. But maybe Buffett doesn't know how to use a computer, but maybe his associates do, and you know they're lying around in their homes, and of course they're doing it, and they bring him the statistics, and then he determines whether to go or not with it. But I'm looking for something that's much more devious that he did, which I think has been because of the times, you know, when everybody's going to jail or committing crimes. Crimes become the way of the world, and so that becomes the norm rather than people that aren't criminals. So we went through a period from 2007 through now almost that criminality has been in vogue, and you really don't criticize people because nobody goes to jail anyway. Maybe they will in this insider trading thing, but. Even that, they're going to get patted down sentences. Everybody's turning in everybody else, and everybody's got a deal. So the SEC will get one shot because of what they've done and the zillions of dollars that they put into this lawsuit. In any event, going back to the AIG demise, AIG and Greenberg were accused of pumping up their earnings all the time and coming in on target. And AIG was always a hot stock because of it, because if Greenberg would tell you they were going to earn something, they earned it, whatever. And everybody kind of got a satisfaction knowing it was consistent. It was almost a Bernie Madoff kind of a return. And, of course, consistency at times could be looked at as padding the books, because nobody can be consistent. Inflation, deflation, cheap money, expensive money. It's pretty hard to bring in your earnings all the time at the same peak that you want, the same ratio you want of growth. Okay. So in any event, AIG had to do that, and Greenberg was a pretty good friend of the people in Omaha. And he asked if they would take a little problem off their hands. I think this would be about 8 years ago, 7 years ago. And what AIG did, and this was a deal between two guys that knew each other. I mean, Buffett and Greenberg were in the same circle. One of Buffett's insurance companies wrote a kind of a put on a bad deal. Now, they call it insurance policy or something else. But it enabled the company to show $500 million more in earnings. Then after the end of the year, they took it away. And that's a little like what Merrill Lynch did when they needed earnings 1 year, which is they pushed the books on, I think it was tank cars, railroad tank cars, or tanker boats over 1 year to another, like you do it on December 31st. You take the loss off your books on January 1st, you get the loss back. The insurance company makes a ton of money, and I think AIG also did that one, by the way. So you make a ton of money on these things, but then you have to pay the piper right away, but you've got to bet that your next quarter is going to be able to cover that up as well. So
like a big slippery slope you start to climb, though.
Yeah, it gets bigger and bigger, and if you're running a semi-legitimate business, none of these are actually legitimate, but if you're running a semi-legitimate business, you pretty well know what your earnings are going to be the next quarter. You may have had a one-time loss that you have to take, and they just didn't want to do it, so they bought the earnings. And AIG was in the business of buying earnings, and they were in the business of buying those earnings from one of Buffett's insurance companies. Now, that testimony is all in writing. Five people were indicted. I think they went to jail. I'm pretty sure they all went to jail. And they avoided doing anything to Buffett, who at the time, think 10 years ago, is where is somebody going to get an okay for a $500 million risk?
Wow.
Without going to the chairman of the board or the board of directors. I mean, you just can't do that.
Right. So you're saying he had to be at least acknowledged, if not, did the deal himself approve that it was taking place?
It can't have not taken place at a level other than the board of directors at $500 million at that time. So we're talking about the value of money. Today, maybe somebody has that ability. I don't know about it. I don't think so. I mean, it's still a lot of money. But it was a lot more money then. I mean, with inflation and everything, and with our current president, we tend to look at numbers differently because we spend differently.
Right. But let's kind of zoom out from just Buffett conversation to something kind of bigger, which is what you were talking about is, hey, you know, nobody went to jail. You know, all this stuff happened the last 10 years in the whole financial charades of people setting up CDOs, which were brought out to fail, bet against them, people saying Paulson has an interest in this without saying his interest was actually in shorting this instrument. The fact that the only one I could think of in jail is Madoff and the guys who, the Adelphi communication scam.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with it. That was pure stealing. That wasn't anything. That was just theft, just plain old theft. Madoff was just plain old theft, Ponzi-like theft. They're two different things. One was organized Wall Street hoodlumism, screwing everybody that they could screw to the wall. And I don't think that people didn't realize what's going on. I sure knew what was going on. I wrote about it long before the collapse happened. Let me tell you the end result of that.
Okay.
Let's go to the innermost parts of what you just discussed. What happened to me was I had an apartment that I had to sell, and it turns out that I had made a mistake and put it in an IRA. And it shouldn't be in an IRA. It could be in any account I had, but it shouldn't be in the IRA account because it was real estate, I guess. I still don't know the technical thing that happened. So the IRS comes in and they say, Bob, get rid of the apartment. Just pay the taxes, whatever profit you got. And, you know, that's it. You know, we know it was a mistake. Your
right.
accountant knows it was a mistake and everybody. So I have to get rid of the apartment.
Okay.
And as luck would have it, this was in whatever that wonderful suburb of Miami Beach is. South Beach. South Beach, yeah. I owned a massive penthouse, the whole roof of a hotel. And so I called a real estate guy, and I said, can you get me so much for this thing? Well, I wound up getting, I don't know, about $110,000 more than we expected to get for this thing. And I said to myself, where is this money coming from? When I had to get a mortgage on this, everybody diddled around with it, and it took me forever, and I really had the cash. All of a sudden, here's enough money that they're going to buy me out within 10 days and close. And that's exactly what happened. So I got lucky I got out of the place. And I really didn't know. This was a buyer from another country, and I really didn't understand what happened at the time. But a couple of years later, we start to figure it out. And what was happening is the banks were in on this thing. They were giving loans to people. They were allowing aliases to buy homes with phony identification, phony everything, and you know all those stories.
Right.
Well, in any event,
well, Bob, let me interrupt you because they're playing some music. It means we got to go to a commercial break. And let me just remind
you, we'll finish
one
it
of
when
my
we,
old
when you're back.
Best friendly clients used to say to me, sometimes it's better to be lucky than Phi Beta Kappa. And it sounds to me like you were in the right place at the right time. We're going to continue the discussion. We do need a break, Bob. We'll be back right after this quick break from the sponsor. Hang out.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Trust Across America and Magna Investing at the same time. Folks, we're blending these things together. Bob is talking, but we're with Bob Spira, the chairman of Chapman Spira. Bob has done more deals before I got out of diapers than I would ever do going forward. But there's an important part of Bob where he understands not only black and white, but knows where the gray is, too, on Wall Street. And, Bob, you know, we've been talking about this issue of trust together for 2 years. And I had said to you that, you know, the point is the recession will end. The economy will turn higher, but will anyone ever come back to this market because of the breakdown in trust? And, you know, where do you think things are these days?
Well, you can go back to 29 and take a look. And, of course, 29 was a depression, and we didn't come out of the depression until World War II. Then the soldiers started coming back. We had to find work for them. And so, in reality, I started in the business in 1954. And people hated stockbrokers. I mean, they hated the market. They had, every family had been somehow taken, were a risk during this, yep, this period of time. And everybody remembered it and said it's just shooting craps, especially when they took the head of the New York Stock Exchange away and changed during that period for being stealing money.
Right. And was he the guy from Citibank at the time, I think?
I'm trying to remember. His brother, I think, was more. They had a Morgan.
Right.
I believe that this guy was a hail fellow well met, a party man, took everybody out. Everybody knew him, and nobody could believe he'd do anything. And he lived off his brother's money almost all his life.
Wow.
And died a pauper and in jail, if I remember right. So that didn't help anything, Annie. That was after things were coming back a little bit. And then we go to the war, and, of course, nothing happened to the market then. But that's when I got into it, was after the Korean War was over. And I would go out and talk to people, and much like you are, at the lecture circuit and that kind of thing. And, man, I had people want to come up and hit me because their uncle was wiped out 30 years before.
Right.
And I must have had something to do with it. So it wasn't the same place as it is now. Just one story that's kind of funny. It was in Kuwait where it was honorable to pay your debts. In other words, you had to pay for whatever you did in the stock market there. And they did it by check. But it was also dishonorable to cash the check.
One day, one guy
had to cash the check.
Wow.
And it bounced. And everybody in Kuwait went under. So, you know, there are a lot of stories that you can tell about these things that happen. But let me just finish the other one.
Yeah,
so I sold out of my home, my penthouse place in Florida, because I had to, and got a good price. And then some friends of mine that worked for the government got reassigned down there to help with the real estate problem that had been created, and with the banks, and with everything, because everybody was in cahoots down there.
Okay.
Well, off the record, and when I say off the record, nothing's off the record, but under FOIA, you could get this stuff. I think that there were 5,200 or 5,300 cases brought in the Miami-Dade County area, all the way up to, well, a little ways up the highway to semi-middle of the country. But there were 5,200 cases where they had these people pretty much cold on theft.
Mm.
Not one case that I am aware of, not one, zero, have ever either gone to court or resulted in a criminal hearing, criminal trial. Not one.
Wow.
So when you have 5,200, when you have Florida, Miami area that probably has the worst real estate values in what's happened because people are just selling things wholesale down there, it's just inconceivable. Nobody's gone away. The closest anybody came to going away for this stuff was the two guys from Bear Stearns, where the jurors said the government didn't present a good case and we're letting them go. The closest.
Right, but Bob, don't you think that this is kind of where the country got so angry and why people said, you know, we play by one set of rules, they play by another, and you know what? I just don't trust these guys, and I'm taking my money and I'm running to the bank.
Well, I don't trust the banks. And I'm not saying it from the point of view of that they're going to steal your money, but they're going to get it from you one way or the other with these interest rates. I mean, you're paying more on credit card debt when you were in the Carter administration when you literally couldn't get it at all. So when you're paying more than when you couldn't get it, that's a pretty high rate.
Wow.
So that's how the banks get bailed out, and the government agrees to do it. And in any state in the union, you're probably dealing in a crime at those rates because every state sets the maximum rate you can have before it's usury. And just compare the usury rate in the state to the actual real rate on your credit card, and I think you'll find that that's true in almost every state. Now, does anybody go to jail for doing it? Well, who are they going to put in jail, the president of the bank? I mean, who makes the rule to make the credit card what it is? It's a Federal Reserve.
Right.
So the Federal Reserve says, these banks are in trouble. We got to let them bail out. And we've done this before at the savings and loan crisis.
Right. And let me kind of share with you, you know, the thing that happened with Buffett yesterday, the thing that you're talking about, and the thing that we kind of bring up to the level in trust across America is it's one thing to do things if it's legal. It's another thing if it's ethical. And I think that, you know, by more and more lawyers and more people going to the tip of the envelope to see what they could get away with, it might be legal, but it's not ethical. And until we get ethics back in the driver's seat, I think that we have a lot of work to do. That's my reading on it.
It'll never come back. I don't think that there's a way to get it back. Maybe you could ensure ethics. But we can't make people into what they're not. And all these people that haven't had money for so long, like the Chinese, and just pick your emerging countries, would like to have a share of the good life, which we've led to. And if we don't steal it, somebody else is going to. And we're not good guys here. We made these rules. Europe blames us for everything that happened to them.
Let me challenge that because, you know, I'm going to ask people, now, even though we're on the Magnet Investing Show and Trust Across America airs on Wednesday on the Voice America Variety, people should go to the trustacrossamerica.com because, Bob, there are people that are doing it right. There are companies that respect not only their shareholders to maximize profits, but to actually work with their employees, to work with their community, to work with their suppliers, to make sure they have a business that's going to be around in a couple of generations. So it's not everybody for sure, and there are problems for sure, but I'm a believer that there's some good guys out there still.
I think that there were good guys in every generation. And there are good guys, and there are ways of making people good guys by prosecution of these bad guys, let's say, that have gone off
right.
off the road. But they're not doing it, and we've got to do it ourselves, and we've got to make some people good guys at least, because everybody's a bad guy. I haven't met an honest person. I can't remember. Everybody's got their own agenda down here. This is a hellhole, New York.
Hey, Bob, you heard it from the chairman. It's Bob Spira. I told you, folks, he has a dark view, a different view, a view of experience, though, and we respect it, Bob. That music in our ear tells us the top of the hour. We got to say goodbye. I'm going to see you in New York City, folks. You have a treat every time you get a chance to meet Bob and see him and hear his feelings. Folks, join us next week right here on Magnet Investing. Go over to trustacrossamerica.com and listen into the Trust Across America show Wednesdays, and have a great week ahead. Bob, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jordan.
All righty, folks. We'll see you next week. Have a great week ahead. Bye now.
Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.